to Homegirl Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love Is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, BC, on the line so we can start the show, so please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
What up, cool kid? How you living?
Can't really complain. I'm blessed. I'm going to just say that. Very blessed. How about you?
Well, I can say the same. It's just hard to ignore the current events that, you know, go around. As we all know, our very own Black Panther, you know, has passed away recently, along with a few other people. I mean, granted, no one is aware of, but, you know, it was a weekend that, you know, we've had quite a few people pass along. But, you know, a lot of it being that, you know, everybody knew who Chadwick was and, you know, his greatness and his legacy that he left behind and everything like that. You know, it's just my vibe of the week is just it's been just simply that, like, you know, it wasn't consistent sadness, but it was just a reality check type of thing where, like, you know, it kind of teaches you just to live life and just be happy as much as possible.
Mhm. Yeah. I also want to say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. The first time I seen him on TV was Lincoln Heights. That was like his breakout role where he played Nathan. He came in, I think, like season 3 or season 4 as like, you know, basically like he was the half brother to the family. He found out that his mother kept him a secret from his dad, but he really bodied that character and he really showed what, because he was a veteran coming back from the war, and he bodied what PTSD looks like, and he was a damn good actor. Thought he was very attractive, but what his death taught me is that, you know, for him to battle with colon cancer for those, you know, these last 4 years, and to come out with all the movies that he did, you know, it's just basically don't complain even when you're going through the storm. Still keep pushing forward because the storm is to test your strength. It's not to make you fold. And I just really want to say I thank you for that. And it's just like you said to Denzel Washington, you know, he said that you've watered others and now it's time to give back the water to you. Chadwick Boseman, you have really set the pavement and you have become that Black hero to a lot of Black, you know what I'm saying, African-American, you know, boys and girls. And, you know, because of you, you giving them hope with Black Panther. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's been crazy because, like, I don't know if you've seen it. Like, I've been seeing it on social media where some parents are, like, posting, like, you know, their kids, like, with the action figures from Marvel and stuff like that, the Avengers.
Yeah.
And
yep.
They have, like, all the characters surrounding the Black Panther character as, like, a memorial type of setting. And, you know, these kids are doing the Wakanda Forever pose. And some of them are crying. And
yeah. It's
just, like, you know, it's crazy. Like, you know, like, he definitely made an impact, you know, on the community.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy that, you know, how he was going through this for so long. And I know, I think we talked about it, I think, a couple of days ago about how, you know, people were mocking how he was looking recently, you know what I'm saying, as far
yeah.
as, like, how, you know, he was losing weight and everything like that. And, like, me personally, I thought dude was just, like, I thought he was, you know, doing, like, a casting thing for, like, a character or something like that, because 50 Cent did it before, too. Like, he did,
mm-hmm.
he had lost a significant amount of weight, you know what I'm saying, just to play this role in this movie. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, yeah, his character has some type of illness or whatever, and he, you know, lost all that weight to play for it. So I thought it was just another replica of exactly what 50
yeah.
Cent had did in the past. So I didn't think nothing too much of it, but then it was, like, at the same time, it was, like, you know, that looks more, you know, it kind of hinted to where, like, he seemed a little sick than what he showed. But that goes to show, like, you know, he
he didn't let that deprive him of any type of progress or any type of happiness either. You know what I'm saying? Like that dude, he was still pushing through every single thing. And it's like, you know, if you backtrack it as to when he was first diagnosed with it or however long he may have had it, within the last 4 years, he dropped so many movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still kept going. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, it was touching to me. But, yeah, definitely rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. And also I wanted to say rest in peace to Clifford Robinson too. He was a basketball player that played for the Pistons at one point of his career. He passed away. The causes are still unknown, but he passed away at 53. That saddens me too, because it's like, you know, like these African American men that, you know, that most of us idolize, or, you know, that are at such a high peak of, you know, whatever their career is, you know, these people are passing away like really early. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not trying to glorify them or anything like that. Like, they're different than any other, you know, African American or any, you know, individual, period. You know what I'm saying? We're just talking about them in particular right now. But, you know, people of these certain causes, like they've been passing away fairly young. Like it's almost like the, you know, the early 60s or the mid 50s is the new 101. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like people can't even live past 70, almost, is what it seems like, for the most part. It's kind of scary to me, but the only thing I can say is really just, you know, just to keep nourishing your soul with positivity, man. You know, just remain happy and, you know, yeah, just stay focused on living a happy life. Because, I mean, the next day ain't promised to nobody, so, you know, just keep the positivity flowing.
Okay. That's right. That's what's up. Well, on last week's episode, we had the wonderful Denise in the building to talk about Does Your Mind Match Your Heart? And the takeaway from that episode is that, honestly, it's hard for a person to always speak what's on their mind, because the mind and heart can have a battle with each other. And, you know, it's like Denise said, when you really care about that, you know, relationship, you don't want to see it tarnished, but you have to have those safe spaces where, you know what I'm saying, like, you really look at stuff. Like, you know how she said that she had a friendship for the longest time that she had to look at, like, wow, this person is, like, really jealous of me, you know? And, like, we also talked about it from the workspace standpoint. DC dropped some heavy gems about when you become a yes man, you got the secretaries, you got all the coworkers asking you to do stuff. And it's like, you have to make that judgment call, like, you know what, hey, I'm not about to let somebody push walk all over me anymore. But it was definitely a good episode, definitely. So
for sure.
With that being said, we will get right into the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight. We are doing another freestyle episode, and we are talking about it from Hey Arnold, the cartoon perspective, yes. So DC laughed at me when I first brought this topic up, but I was like, looking at Hey Arnold to this day, yes, I have nieces and nephews, so I still watch cartoons. But looking at it today, there was like a lot of deep messages that we didn't perceive back then. And I sometimes question, was this show really made for kids? You know what I'm saying? And if so, were we supposed to watch it by ourselves, or were we supposed to watch it with our parents so that they could help us to process the messages? So I'm just going to get into, like, some of the characters. Like, let's talk about that for, like, the first couple of 10 minutes. The one person that really stood out to me throughout that whole, like, cartoon was Helga. You know, like, back then, I didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think anything was wrong with Helga's obsessive behavior with Arnold, and how she had like a shrine of him in her closet. I didn't think anything of it, but today I'm like, you know what, this is kind of deep, and they kind of taught us how to stalk a person and obsess with somebody. But, you know, talking to you, I know you said that you wanted to bring some bullet points into the platform about Helga's character to help people understand. Maybe you can help me understand a little bit. So I'm gonna let you take the flow.
Yeah, so I mean, to piggyback off of basically what you said, yes, I mean, she had a psychotic level crush on Arnold. Let's just be clear. I don't care how you try to simplify that. Like, that is just not normal for a fourth grader. Okay. Secondly, I mean, her love for Arnold as a, let me see, what age would they usually be in as a fourth grader? Like between 8 and 10 years old, roughly.
Yep, 8 and 10, yep.
So, I mean, you don't necessarily know what love is. You just have, like, this extreme imagination as to what it is, you know what I'm saying? So you kind of, like, you know, you're very excessive, hence the whole fucking head module and everything like that. Like, shit was weird. But to really kind of, like, justify it in a sense, like, she fell in love with Arnold because he fulfilled a type of love and care she didn't get from her family. You know what I'm saying? And this was pretty much discussed in pretty much one of the episodes. I believe it was in season one. And it was around the time because they had met back in preschool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This kind of reminds me of a real life scenario, but we're not going to get into that though. but she didn't get the type of love and care that she wanted from home because she was the youngest kid and her parents pretty much glorified the oldest daughter. Like, the oldest daughter got anything and everything she wanted. Like, I believe it was an episode where they kind of touched on that too, where, you know, they showed the complicity of Helga and Olga's relationship as sisters. But yeah, they basically ignored her existence, you know what I'm saying, her family, and what was it, they made her walk in the rain or whatever on the first day of school or some shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like the first person she sees or, you know, comes in contact with, you know what I'm saying, is Arnold. You know what I'm saying? You got Rico Suave coming out of nowhere with an umbrella and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, let me help you out here, shorty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you all up here in the rain and everything. Let me help you out. Because that's Arnold's character. Arnold's character is that one that's going to go out his way to help people. You know what I'm saying? He was the people pleaser of the show. You know what I'm saying? So by him just doing that off the bat, you know what I'm saying? That was just like, okay, that's hubby right there. Like, that's about to be my man, like 100. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where like her whole, like, you know, love for him just really started. And it's weird because, like, at first, like, I always tried to figure out, like, why she never really wanted to express her love for Arnold if, like, that's what you really into. But it was more clear, you know, once I started to read upon it, because it was they were basically saying that, you know, she didn't really want to express her love for Arnold, you know, because of possible rejection or a public humiliation. Which, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that makes perfect fucking sense, because that relates to the real world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you lust and, you know, you fall in love with someone that you would consider is out of your league. So it's like you wouldn't dare confront them with your feelings because they might look at you and be like, "Huh, fuck you mean? No." Like, you know what I'm saying? You just, because some people are cruel like that. Some people, especially like if you're in school still, you know what I'm saying? Maybe like the adult level, it may be different. But definitely like in school, like if a person doesn't know how to handle giving you rejection in the kindest way possible, it embarrasses them for the simple fact that you're even coming to them, asking them, or making that sort of gesture. Like, I remember in this movie called Valentine, it was eighth graders too, as a matter of fact. Almost pretty much damn near the same scenario. You can actually kind of put this as a Hey Arnold and a Helga scenario. They were having like a school dance in the gym, and the main character, who was a boy at the time, and this little girl, they had went behind the bleachers or whatever, and she was into him. You know what I'm saying? And they, you know, kind of kissed or whatever, but she was embarrassed because of his appearance. Like, he was like the goofy, you know, not so popular type of kid. And she got caught kissing him
by the, I guess you could say, like the class clowns or the, you know, the popularity portion of the boys in the school. And she made it seem like he did it, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, pretty much forced her to do it. So they beat the boy up, you know what I'm saying, like beat the shit out of him for the most part. And, you know, later on he became a killer and he started killing everybody. But, yeah. You know what I'm saying, the point is, you know, like sometimes people are ashamed of or, you know, may feel embarrassed by someone that doesn't look ideally their type to others. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that, I feel like in a sense, that's what, yeah, go ahead.
No, no, I was going to say, I was going to let you finish your thought because I wanted to piggyback on something you said about Arnold and Helga, but keep going.
No, I was going to say, like, that's just like how, you know, that's how certain people, that's how certain kids would probably look at it, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, they don't have that mature growth yet to kind of just be like, you know, like, hey, like, I think you're a nice person, but, you know, you're just not my type kind of thing. Instead, you know, like, they'll exaggerate things. You know, as kids, we will exaggerate things. You know what I'm saying? I feel like at some point, Helga kind of, like, maybe, you know, sense that because, like, all those kids were, like, in a sense, pretty wise and, you know, they were wise enough to kind of know, like, okay, a certain shit that I can say and there's certain shit that I can't say or express to certain people. You know what I'm saying? Because we are kids and, you know what I'm saying, somebody might blow this shit out of proportion.
Right. Now, I wanted to piggyback on what you said earlier about how Arnold fulfilled a love and care for Helga that she didn't have before. They were in preschool. I don't think that Arnold really realized, like, he was just trying to be nice, you know what I'm saying, with the umbrella.
Right.
But Helga's character, she really reflects, like, how a person can, like, when they like someone, she reflects how, when we like someone, how our imagination can make us fall in love with the image of them that's not really them. You get what I'm saying? Like, she was okay with being in her imagination. Like, Arnold, I want to marry you and everything like that. But when it came to it, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's very understandable that she was, you know, afraid of rejection and everything, because the perspective that I got from it is that the reason why she was being so mean to him was because it's like, how do I be nice? You know what I'm saying? How do I show emotion? Because it's not shown in my household. You get what I'm saying? Like, my dad's always yelling. My mom is just always tired. You know what I'm saying? And when Olga comes to town, it's always Olga, Olga. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, whenever she would see Arnold and, you know, he'd be like, hey, what's up, Helga? She would lash out. And then you would see her getting mad. Like, why did you do that? Like, why couldn't you just tell him? Like, she had a battle with herself and she really wanted to be in denial about it because it's like, I came second to my family, so am I really deserving of love anyway? That's the perspective I got from it, you know what I'm saying? Because I was that person. Like, I can't really say that Helga is obsessive. She was. I mean, like, she took chewed gum that this man had, and she would always go add it to her shrine, and she would cut pieces of hair. Yes, she was over the top, but I can't lie and say that I wasn't that person that when I liked a guy, and I'm talking about this was like middle school, high school, if I liked a guy, I'm thinking about marriage. I'm thinking about us having kids. I'm thinking about my future already with this person. You get what I'm saying? So, like, she kind of reflects, like, how we are. Like, we tend to take someone's kindness as, oh, my God, he wants to be with me. No, I was just really trying to open the door for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we read too much into it. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to just say that. But, yeah, keep going.
No, yeah, that's where the miscommunication comes into play with, you know, between Helga and Arnold. Because, like I said, Arnold was people pleaser. You know what I'm saying? He always wanted to do a good deed for somebody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even when it wasn't sensible. You feel me? Like, this motherfucker, like, he always wanted to come to the rescue for anything and everything. So it's like when he did just make that people pleaser, you know, gesture, you know what I'm saying? She just looked at that as simply just that, you know, like he's giving me something that I want from my family or I want in my household type of thing. So it's like, that's what, you know, that's what kind of drew the love over the top kind of thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, like, The father was just always into like his little beeper company. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he was always just about his job.
No.
The mama was for sure drinking too much damn wine on a regular basis. Her ass wasn't always tired. She was sipping on that red wine. And then,
Olga. Remember, they tried to sugarcoat it for the cartoon, but yeah, she wasn't drunk.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure, for sure. She was. Because as soon as you said tired, like, that made me just think all the way back, like, how she just used to sound all sluggish. I was like, I know that.
Yep.
I know that is. Like, you ain't about to trick me no more, miss.
Right.
But no, yeah, I mean, those were pretty much the two interesting characters. For sure. And I know Mr. Gerald Johansson. another thing I wanted to bring up for Arnold. I just found out, during doing the research for the episode or whatever, I didn't know his last name was Shortman.
I never knew he had a last name. He never said it.
Yeah. Cause they exposed it in, they basically they exposed it in the movie. I think it was the first one.
Yeah,
or the
I need
second
to watch
movie
that movie.
Yeah, because I guess it on one of his passports it said Arnold, and it had his middle name. I can't remember his middle name, and it his last name was Shortman. And it was crazy because I always thought that was just a nickname that his grandfather always gave him, because he'd be like, "Hey there, Shortman," and I'm like, "What?" Like, so I was just sitting there, I'm thinking the nigga name. I think he just nicknamed him Shortman, but no, he'd been calling him by his last name the whole time. Like, I thought that was hilarious.
That's crazy. But, no, what I was about to say about Gerald, because, like, Gerald was an interesting character. Like, because I was going to ask you, when you're saying that Arnold was a people pleaser, like, do you think that Arnold had people in his corner, wanting to look out for him? Like, I felt like him and Gerald were very good. Like, you know, Gerald saw Arnold's place as a safe haven for him because – you know, he felt like he didn't really have a place to fit in at his house because, like, he had how many brothers and sisters?
I think he had an older brother, a younger brother, and I think
and
an
a younger
older sister.
Sister.
Well, yeah, wasn't
a
younger
sister. Yep. So it was four of them. So it's like he never, you know, he always liked. I remember Arnold used to always come over there and spend the night. And Gerald said, "How come I never get to spend over your house? Like, I come over, but I never get to stay." And it's like, you know, he liked going over there because it's like, okay, I don't feel out of place and I don't feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Because you remember at one point, Gerald moved out of his mama's house and said, "I'm about to go rent a room at the boarding house where Arnold's at," thinking that life was just so easy. Yes, I'm telling you. But yeah,
because
I mean
it seemed like,
I love their friendship.
Yeah, because I think with Gerald, I think Gerald was pretty much, he was pretty much the opposite of Arnold. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Arnold was the people pleaser. Gerald was the one to be like, "Look, nigga, like, they ain't worth the time of the day. Like, what are you doing this and that for? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what good is it gonna, you know, do for you," type of thing. Because, you know, Gerald, he sought attention elsewhere because it really wasn't coming from, you know, it wasn't really coming from home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to kind of go, you know, in another angle, like, I was just going to say, like, if you pay attention to it, like, all these characters really had household issues. You know what I'm saying? Every single one of them had household issues. You know what I'm saying? And, like, when it came to Gerald, I think they were saying that he kind of like developed a selfish trait, you know what I'm saying? Because I think it was in one episode, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think his oldest brother, I think his name was Jamie, and I think he had this girlfriend or whatever, and Gerald kind of peeped it out, like how she was like manipulating him on doing certain shit. And, like, he was hesitant to do so because it was like, well, what good is it going to do me? Like, I get the same treatment. So it's like, why should I make things better for you when you're not making it better for me? You know what I'm saying? But I think eventually, like, you know, like, he ended up telling him or whatever. I think, as the seasons progressed, I think, like, things kind of got a little bit better between, like, all the characters and their households for the most part. That and, like, most of them kind of, like, just, like, accepted the fact, like, okay, like, my house is, like, fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my safe haven is about to be y'all.
every time we, you know, hang out after school and school, you know what I'm saying? But
You know what,
Gerald
what another thing that stood out another thing that stood out to me is like how like fast they had to grow up, you know, like I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, in Detroit, when I used to go on the east side to, like, hang out with my friends and stuff, like, this is, like, when I was, like, in my 20s, I seen, you know, little kids that had to be no older than 6 or 7 watching their younger siblings and crossing the street to go to the park. And I'm like, damn, I remember when I was 5 or 6, I couldn't even leave from in front of the house. Like, I literally had to drive my bike from one end of the grass to the other end of the grass, as long as I stayed in front of the house. So, you know, like just seeing Arnold and them catching the subway to school, walking to school, it's like, damn, when I was 9 years old, I was getting dropped off. And when I was 10, I had to catch the bus. It's like, you know, and moving to the East Coast, because, you know what I'm saying, it's based in the East Coast, moving to the East Coast, you really do see these younger kids walking to school, catching the regular bus. And I'm like, wow, like, I was really sheltered. Like, that's something that I didn't see growing up, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It's just, like, I just say that to say, like, it's like you said, all of them had a lot of problems. So I feel like they had to grow up earlier. They had to grow up way faster than they were supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think what that is because, like, I think the time setting was, you know, was in, like, later years. Like, I want to say, like, Arnold, I want to say they era kind of took place in, like, the 50s and 60s. Because I don't think they were that modern.
You think so?
I think
that took
wanna
place in the 90s. That was in the 90s.
You think so?
Yeah, they wasn't even dressing like the 50s. I think it took place in the 90s because, that took place. It looked like I think that the cartoon took place like in the 90s because it's like the slang. They wasn't saying you're a bold kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just.
Well, no, Gerald would say that.
Like you're a bold kid. Like it was other things they said, like their slang. Like it just didn't seem like it was 50s lingo, but. I mean, like, even back then, I can't say the 50s were safe. I don't know. It's just, like, to see kids, like, being able to walk on their own. Like, they walked in crowds, but it's, like, I just think, like, did the parents feel trustworthy of them getting back and forth to school? Or was it, like, hey, they weren't at home because they had to work? Because the East Coast is very expensive, very expensive. Like, New York, rent is high. Like, you know, Philadelphia alone, you know what I'm saying? You looking at, like, $1,500 for rent. You know what I'm saying? And up. It's a lot.
Right.
But New York is definitely expensive, but it just makes me think, like, did they have to walk to school because their parents wasn't in the picture? Like, we really didn't see a lot of each person's parents' background except for Gerald, Helga, sometimes Harold. You know, they would show his family and then Arnold. But, you know, like, you never really seen anybody else. You know, none of the other kids' background. They were always at Arnold's place. That was the hangout spot.
Yeah. I mean, shit, you see my man's room?
Yes!
I never his spot, bro. That's where Arnold had the coolest damn room in cartoon history. Like, I don't care what nobody say. That nigga had, like, he had the pad that you would have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, true.
Like, I wish I did have, like, a glass ceiling. And I could just push a button and my damn couch and, you know, come from out the wall. Like, nigga, like, well, first of all, how did that even happen? Like, how was that possible? Like, nigga, who gave you the tools to do all that shit?
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, I definitely understand. But yeah.
Gerald was the old show.
I was also going to say, like, something about Sydney.
Oh.
You remember Sydney? Sydney was like a troubled kid. Like, he was getting himself into some stuff. I think one episode it looked like a drug transaction, but they made it like it was candy because he shorted somebody on their candy, didn't have any money, so they cut up his pony, like they cut the hair on his horse and stuff, and it's like, yo, what type of lifestyle did he live? Like, he was always in trouble asking, you know, Arnold, you got to help me out. You know what I'm saying? Chocolate
That's
boy.
Sale was the
long
the,
nose and the hat.
Yeah, that wore the white cowboy boots.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't care what nobody said. That nigga had a heel. He had like a 3-inch heel on them shoes.
Oh,
those
my
boots.
Gosh. Anyways. But yeah, like, yeah, him. He was just always getting in trouble. Like, the deeper messages from that story, like, Chocolate Boy had an addiction. You know what I'm saying? Sydney was like the trouble kid. You know, you just kind of shed light on Arnold. I didn't really see him as a people pleaser. I just saw him as somebody wanted to fix other people's problems, to take his mind off of why his family wasn't the way it was supposed to be, because he always wondered about his parents. So
yeah.
I think, like, I mean, but that is something a people pleaser would do. But I just, damn, like, I never really thought of him trying to be a person that needs approval, because everybody was always hanging around him. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, like, they will always meet up at Arnold's spot, you know what I'm saying, to hang out. They would be on the
suit. Yeah, I mean, I guess in a sense you can kind of say that, you know, he kind of had an old soul too. And I only say that just because of his interest in women. Because if you ever notice, like, Arnold always had, like, a crush or, like, you know, a strong interest in, you know, chicks that was older than him. Just like Ruth.
She was in middle school. The middle school kids of him and Gerald. Yep.
Yeah. I think he had a thing for Olga too, I think. And for the substitute teacher in one of those episodes. Like, and he had a thing for older women.
Yeah. Well, see, that one with the substitute teacher, that was a blur because he thought that she was coming on to him. And I think Gerald kind of put it in his head that she liked him, but she had a man named Arnold. So, yeah.
Yeah.
he was teaching him how to approach her and everything. Like, oh, my God. That show was amazing. Like, we almost got to wrap up. Like, that's how you know that was a good show. But, like, what is the takeaway? Like, what are some lessons, like, you know, that you could take away from watching that show? And, like, would you recommend it to kids of this day and age?
I mean, I would recommend it for sure. I mean, honestly, I would recommend, shit, damn near all of the cartoons, you know, as far as, like, you know, Hey Arnold, Rugrats, Rocket Power, like, you know what I'm saying, shows of that nature, because they did carry, you know, some morals and, you know, ideally, you know, moderations as to how you should deal with people on a regular basis. That kind of, like, you know, with, because the thing I like with Hey Arnold is that they show, like, how a white kid and a black kid can be best friends, can have differences, but it doesn't determine their friendship. You know what I'm saying? They take,
right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said with Gerald. Gerald is the opposite of Arnold. You know what I'm saying? So when he thinks, like, something, you know, when Arnold thinks something is, you know, something that he should do, you know, for the good of, you know, a certain person, you know what I'm saying? Like, Gerald kind of looks out for his best interest. You know what I'm saying? And when they disagree on it, you know what I'm saying? They don't fall out forever. They be like, all right, shit, what are we doing tomorrow? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like how they express all the cultural differences, you know what I'm saying, in that show.
Yep.
You know, they give you every background of it, you know what I'm saying? And they give you these subliminal messages to kind of look back on when you get older, kind of like how we're doing right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, with everybody's, you know, backgrounds, you could tell, like, how, you know, it reflects on, you know, things that are happening today, like, you know, troubled households and, you know what I'm saying, like, how, you know, a father can be more interested in his work than his kids, or, you know what I'm saying, you got a stay-at-home mom who's just stressed out about not getting attention from a girl who didn't you sipping on wine.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying, you know, you got a kid who doesn't, you know his parents at this point, and he's, you know, he's being raised by his grandparents who look old as shit, but are still there to pretty much be able to mold him to be a, you know, a decent gentleman. And you know what I'm saying, like the old souls and the wisdom that these kids have at a young age, you know what I'm saying, like that gives you a sense of motivation to, you know, be as wise and, you know, be kind and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying, like it gives you all that, you know what I'm saying. That's what I like about it.
I would definitely, like you, I agree with you, I would definitely recommend it to kids of this day and age to watch it, because it shows that kids gonna have problems too. And we can't invalidate them like they don't have any stress. You know, like it goes for Hey Arnold, Degrassi, you know, the next generation people. My adults growing up thought oh, that's just some kids doing that teenage shit again. And it's like, no, they really had some deep issues. They struggle with identity, you know, like with Hey Arnold, you know, like I think a lot of them struggle with identity. A lot of them struggle with, you know what I'm saying, try to ease pain, because Chocolate Boy, he had an addiction to chocolate because I think his nanny gave it to him. And I think she either passed away or something. She didn't come back. And it's like he ate chocolate to ease the pain of, you know what I'm saying, her not being there.
Right.
You know, they like it just really showed like some deep discussions. And I think that I would suggest that people should get, you know, parents and kids should get together and watch it together so that we can have a safe space to talk about some of these things. But it's like parents are so busy these days working because, like, you know, the economy is just so fucked up. Like, you can't live off of one income in the household anymore. You got to have two, three, or four. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. Times are so fucked up. I kind of see why parents be looking at their 16-year-old like, you need to start working. And it's sad, but it's like we got to have a safe space to talk about a lot of those, you know, things, because we struggle with ourselves. And it's like if we're not having talks about this, when we get older, you can't expect at 18 that I'm physically and mentally all grown up and I know how to handle the world. No, I don't. I'm still trying to get answers from shit that I had questions about back then that I couldn't really come and talk to you about. So we have to think about that, you know? And I really like the fact that we did talk about Hey Arnold. So I guess we can segue into shout outs and appreciations. What you got for us, DC?
Well, first and foremost, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab, because without Self Love Is My Rehab, it would not have allowed me to accept what is and accept what will be, and, you know, allowed me to, you know, take the dedication to be a better person on a regular basis. Shout out to you, Complex, for allowing that to be possible, because without you, there would be no DC. And shout out to God, because without him, there would be no Self-Love Is My Rehab. There would be no Complex Angel. There would be no DC. Shout out to Dynamic Cultural Apparel. That's my baby. Don't play with it. You know what I'm saying? Business is doing good as usual. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no slacking, just steady money packing. You like how that rhyme? Bars, nigga. We got some stuff dropping on the way here pretty soon. Everybody just be patient with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the progress ain't never perfect. You know what I'm saying? And I'm accepting that, so y'all accept it as well. But, you know, stay tuned with all the updates on my Instagram page at dynamic_culture_apparel. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Dynamic Culture Apparel. And if you would like to follow my personal page, The Ugly King, it is super_ugly. And shout out to Positive Vibes and shout out to Positive Energy. Shout out to the people with negative vibes and negative energy as well. At the end of the day, we love you. We just still waiting on you to catch up. Mustard.
Catch up. Mustard. Yes. I love it. I love it. So I'm going to say shout out to Quincy Shelton. He just had me as a guest on his show, the Talk to Q radio show. And, you know, we talked about my book, No Apologies. I shouted out Self Love Is My Rehab. You know, he thought that it was really dope about this podcast and how we're using it to break generational curses. So I just want to say thank you, Quincy, for having me on as a guest to share our platform, you know, so you could bring some of your listeners our way and vice versa. We can't wait to have you on as a guest one day.
Sure.
Shout out to God. You know, he has really been blessing me. He has really brought me a long way. There have been some bumps in the road where I wanted to give up, and something just kept telling me to keep going. And I look back and I just see, I just basically see how far I have come. And I am not ashamed, and I will never be ashamed to admit that. I will never be ashamed to admit how moving to Pennsylvania and everything that I had to endure really shaped me as a person. Because in Michigan, I didn't know who the fuck I was. Like, I really found myself here. And I'm just, like, really thankful for God, you know, being with me every step of the way. Shout out to my book, No Apologies. I don't give that enough credit. It sets a platform for self-love with my rehab and the platform for queens with vibes and visions. Out of Darkness, part 2 will be coming soon. I don't want to say the date anymore, but it will be coming soon. And also, I want to give a shout out to couple of people that answered the Stimulate Your Mind question last week. The Stimulate Your Mind question last week was, what was your plan for adulthood in your childhood versus what really happened? And I want to shout out Angela C. Jackson, Shanita Dotson, and Natasha Angel Riley on Facebook for answering. I want to read Kamaya's, though, because it was just really funny. She said, I just knew I was going to be a singer and dancer with no kids, living the life. Found out I couldn't really sing or dance, and I have a household full of dirty, stinky boys. Life after college wasn't all it was hyped up to be either. Adulthood is ghetto, and she put laughing emojis. So thank you guys for answering that. Like, people were like, it was like I shared it to some of the group pages too, and people were, you know, answering in there too. But I'm like, wow, you know, they was like, thank you for bringing this question up because you had me thinking about some stuff that I really didn't pay attention to last time. So thank you guys for sharing that. So, with that being said, DC, are you ready to get your mind stimulated tonight?
Nope.
Yes, you are. Drop it.
Oh, shit. Let's stimulate that mind. Kareem.
Okay. When we go to someone with a problem, or if we need to vent, what do we expect from the person that's giving us the listening ear? I just really want to know.
To them to give us what we want to hear and not what we need to hear. And it's just, honestly, it's just as simple as that. And then it could be, you know, regardless if we feel like we're right or wrong, we still want to get, you know, the justification that we're right still. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people just ain't grown enough to take, you know, like, yeah, you fucked up. Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people ain't ready for that talk. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you that type of person that just wants to, you know, get validation that you're right, you're not ready for that conversation. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I can honestly say there were times where, you know, and you know this really well, so I'm going to just throw it out there. you know it very well. So, I mean, years ago, I had did some petty shit. And needless to say, phone calls were made. And I felt like I didn't do anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? Until, you know, I had got a phone call and it was like, yo, D, what the fuck you doing? Like, you know that shit was wrong. And it was just that particular sentence that made me say, fuck it. No, that's not what I wanted to hear. That's not why I picked up the phone.
Right.
That's not why I picked up the phone. Like, I picked up this phone to just be, you know, just to hear something completely opposite of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even just that particular scenario. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, there were times where, you know, I felt like I needed to be right about something because I was tired of being wrong about something. Which was not necessarily my fault. It was just that I couldn't, there were just scenarios to where, like, I just didn't put myself in the best position possible.
You know what I'm saying? So even when I feel like I'm, you know, being done wrong, reciprocating is not always the right thing to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're doing it the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? The best way to get back at somebody is just to not get back at them at all. You know what I'm saying? Move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that part.
That's my take on it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nowadays, like, I never realized how easier it is to go into a topic like that open-minded, you know, trying to seek answers from someone and be open-minded about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you get an opportunity to get told that you were fucking wrong. You know what I'm saying? By somebody, obviously,
mm-hmm.
that you trust, because that's why you're talking to them in the first place. You trust their judgment and their opinion. You know what I'm saying? You get the opportunity to be put on blast to correct yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because without some sensible direction, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be, whether you're trying to get, you know, advice on some wrongdoing you may have did in a relationship or at a workplace or even between friendships. You know what I'm saying? You
mm-hmm.
get an opportunity to at least get a better, not licensed, but educated, you know what I'm saying, opinion based on someone that you trust. You know what I'm saying? So that way, if you are in the wrong, you can take that and you can run with that. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
let's be clear, not all opinions have to be accepted. You just take what you feel needs to be taken out of that conversation, and then you work with it from there. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily always have to go with what the person is saying to you, because not every opinion benefits you in the long run. You know what I'm saying? That could be a recipe for disaster if you run with somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
So,
well, my take on it is, I brought this into the platform because I've always wanted to know, like, how to approach a situation when the, you know, person comes to me for advice. I used to be the person that would tell my friends what they wanted to hear, you know, and I remember you had a talk a long time ago where you said when a person comes to you for advice about their relationship, they're looking for you to be that last little bit of hope of why they should stay in it. And I became that person that told people what they wanted to hear, but I would see the damage. Like, I knew that the relationship was shitty, but I had friends who threatened to stop being my friend if, you know what I'm saying, if I acted like they would stop being my friend if I basically tried to tell them what they really needed to see. If I didn't act like shit with peaches and cream, we can't be friends. And for the longest time, I just felt like it wasn't me being my genuine, authentic self. And it's like I would distance myself because I couldn't bear to see someone I care about being hurt. Because one thing that I noticed that when a person is hurt and it's someone that I care about and I can't take that pain away, it fucks with me. I have to sit around and let them mope and everything. And it's like I was like Arnold in a sense. You know what I'm saying? I always wanted to just take other people's pain away because I know how it feels. And I don't want someone I care about to feel that. But I remember I seen a meme that said, you know, sometimes a person just really wants a listening ear, but it's like, I'm not trying to be funny, but if you call me and you're venting, this right here would sound rude as hell. To just have pitch black silence. It's like, hello? So it's like, what do I say? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I try to be patient. I had a very humbling experience with Queen K, couple weeks ago where, like, you know, she called me to vent about something and I just literally jumped to, no, you need to do this, 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 and that. And she was like, I'm going to just call you back. And I had to really process what the hell happened. And then, you know, I thought about it. And I apologized to her the next day because it's like I was in her shoes before. I remember being that person where, like, you come to somebody just to vent and they want to tell you right off the bat what you should do. And I had to tell myself, like, okay, you know, complex, you get irritated when people tell you what to do. And you said yourself that people heal differently and people, you know what I'm saying, do things differently. So what makes you think your suggestions is going to be right for this person? When even though y'all got a lot of stuff in common, y'all got two different personalities. So I'm just really trying to learn what it looks like. You know, I don't want to be the friend to just be quiet. Like, I want you to know that I'm listening. So it's like, I just don't know. I'm still stuck on that. I think the best thing I'm going to ask after they get done venting is, what do you need from me right now? Like, what would make you feel better right now instead of just jumping to what I think that you should do? And that only came from other people doing that to me. And it's like I picked up on it, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? This shit is right. You know what I'm saying? Like, do this because it worked for me. Everything might not work. What worked for you may not work for somebody else. And I really had to learn that. So thank you for shedding light on that Simulate Your Mind question. Appreciate you.
For sure. For sure, for sure.
Well, with that being said, close us out with the dynamic quote of the week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of the episode tonight. Very cool, calm, collected, you know, laid back episode. Joy talking about, hey, Arnold, I might have to actually watch a season two after we're done with this show. Just to recap on my old childhood, you know, eat a big ass bowl of cereal. Why not? But no, yeah, it was a good show, Complex, you know, and to all the listeners, we dearly appreciate you guys listening in, chiming in, you know, whenever you can. You know, we do gladly appreciate it. But with that being said, the dynamic quote for tonight is, nothing is more satisfying than reaching a level of self-love so much that when someone walks out your life, you let them. And I picked this quote for tonight because as a people pleaser, I resolve my life around pleasing others except for me. And once I started to learn how to love myself a little bit more, things became a little bit more complicated as to who was in my life and who wasn't. And the people that, you know, tended to leave out of my life, you know, it was very hurtful because I felt like a piece of me was leaving with them. So I say that to say, don't invest too much of yourself into people to where, you know, your self-love is not big enough for you to snatch that shit away from them as they leave. Because just because they leave, that don't mean that a part of you has to leave as well. You know what I'm saying? And having self-love is so powerful because you won't rely on, you know, being heard or seen by people who aren't really worthy of seeing or hearing you and you know, in their presence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the person won't hear you until you jump out of character and then your ass crazy, right? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, self-love is the key to happiness, man, for real. It really is. I mean, as humans, we all go through our depression stages, our emotional stages, our downfalls and everything like that. But the biggest recovery back to being happy and being you is loving on you first. Having that big relationship with yourself first is key to, you know, some Wolverine rejuvenation type of shit. You know what I'm saying? You might get damaged here and there, but guess what? The skin grows right back and it blossoms and it glows. You know what I'm saying? Just like Wakanda.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Man, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman, man. Wakanda forever. With that being said, man, we out. Peace and love.
Peace and love.